myself needing to cough or clear my throat, but it is such a joy for me to read the word of the Lord. And so now I ask that you prepare your hearts to receive the word of God. From Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why, the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. We also take our next reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. Then Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus instructed them, Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Here ends the scripture lesson.
I'd like to invite kids to come down. Keep going. coming. Good, 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 good. One more. Good. Good morning. Did you have to shovel this morning?
Yes.
No, you know, yes. Well, I guess you were lucky. Yeah, well, that's all right. Some people get lucky and some. I didn't shovel very much. I just drove right over it and came up to church. So, made it. That's a good start. I got to go home and do all my shoveling, though. There's this word that's a big word, but once you learn it, you can remember it. And I was telling it to your parents before. The word is metamorphosis. And it means to change. Metamorphosis is what it's called. And when you see a caterpillar and it goes into a cocoon, and then later out of the cocoon comes a butterfly, we say it went through metamorphosis. And what it means, it changed from one form to another form. If you look at a caterpillar, you can hardly believe that it would ever look as pretty as a butterfly. If you take a caterpillar and you say, fly, caterpillar, fly, what does it do? Drops to the ground. But if I say, fly, butterfly, fly, it takes off and can fly. They're like two very different things. Well, one of the hardest things for little people and big people, young people and old people to do is change. Change is hard because a lot of times we don't want to. Like, for instance, if I told you, you're all going to have to get up a half hour earlier than you do now. What? And some people would really squawk. Or you all need to go to bed an hour earlier than you go to bed now. Oh, you even squawk about that one, right? Because it's a change. We don't always like it. All right? Or if we're expecting to do something and somebody changes the plan, I thought we were going to go do this, see that, and mom goes, well, we changed the plan, then sometimes people get really upset. Well, Moses was 80 years old, all right? And he had pretty much become a shepherd and a farmer. And one day, God looked at Moses and said, Moses, you're going to have to change. Moses, you're going to become something different. And guess what Moses felt? Just like you. He didn't want to. Sometimes you get scared because change is scary. Sometimes you're on one team and they're going to move you to another team. Or in one grade and they move you to a different grade. Or one school and you got to go to a different school. And suddenly everything changes. Okay? Well, God said, Moses, you're going to change. And Moses was old, older than your grandmas and grandpas. Okay? And God said, you're going to start a brand new life, Moses. You're going to save the people in Egypt, the children of Israel, from the Pharaoh. Moses didn't want to do it. So what we learn and what we're going to learn in the sermon today is how hard it is for young people, little people, old people, big people, to change. And yet sometimes God will ask you to change something very different. Change the way you talk. Change the way you behave. Change the way you are living your life. And everybody gets a little bit scared by that. Everybody gets a little bit frustrated by that. And yet at the same time, God is the God of change. In the one thing we heard, Jesus changed right in front of the disciples' eyes. He looked just like a regular person like you do. And then suddenly a light came down and surrounded him, and he began to radiate and show the glory of God in who he was. And the disciples looked and go, ugh, and they passed out and they fell face first on the ground. So in my sermon, I want you to listen about Moses, how hard it is to change, and we're going to see what even the disciples had to learn about Jesus, because he changed from being able to do all the things God can do to come down and be just like you and me. And that's what we're going to learn today in the sermon. All right? Can you remember that for me? Good. Looks like we got a pretty even number today. I'm just going to let you go at it here. Here we go. Come on. Why don't you grab two? One for you, one for the snow. But if you don't go quick, I'm going to come right back and take it away. So go quick.
Thank you.
Take one your mom and dad like.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Got them? There you go. Oh, good job. Good job. Metamorphosize, fascinating word. We have the story and account of Moses contrasted to what goes on in the New Testament, not that much different. They have a lot of similarities. They both take place on a mountain. They both are transfigured in a sense because Moses eventually is lit up by the bush and all the things related to that. There's revelation taking place. Moses finds out he's got a new job to do, and he's going to be taking the children of Israel and saving them and other things like that. There is this prophetic part of it where the disciples have to learn, stand up, everything's good. And then he says, don't tell anyone about this until I'm risen from the dead. And again, it's just this little phrase stuck in there that you begin to realize Jesus is letting them know all along what's going on and who he is and how significant what they're doing. So this is awesome for them, though, and they've never experienced anything quite this dramatic, and so that becomes part of the challenge. And they're so overwhelmed, like it says, they fall face down and can hardly take it. And what's brought to them is this unbelievably great news. I'm coming down to rescue my people, Moses' case, and I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. For the disciples' case, I think their minds are so stunned that sometimes, although they mentally hear it, they don't register it. Plus, they may not have experienced. If I looked at you and say, guess what? So-and-so is going to rise from the dead. You'd look at me and go, huh? You mean like zombie movies? Like, no. It's going to be 100% okay. And we sometimes don't realize these men are passing out or stunned because they're that shocked. They've just never considered some of these things and some of these events. And so we have to be very much aware of that, at least if we can. Now, Moses is in a situation here where he sees the burning bush and he says he steps aside. And at that moment, God calls him. And he says, Moses, Moses. That's a very intimate call from God. It's a very honest call from God. I don't know if Moses is aware of who he's talking to. He's aware something unusual is happening. He's aware, we forget, although God certainly did more things than we read about in the Bible. I don't think the only healed person and the only time he ever did this is this one time. But it's the only time we have recorded for us. So I can't say anything about another time or a different time that he may have been reaching out and doing some other things. Periodically, we hear some things of him participating or witnessing to a different tribe, a group of people, or something else like that. Even today, we get these, I'll use for lack of a better word, rumors, stories, accounts, some by very faithful missionaries of people coming down out of the mountains going, Jesus met us in the mountains, and he told us to come down and said, you missionaries would have a Bible for us. And the missionaries are shocked because they're giving out these Bibles, wondering how they're going to reach some of these mountain people. So there's that kind of stuff that goes on. But what we have is this account where Moses has got to deal with the fact, 80 years old, and God says, now I'm going to use you. I mean, Moses' life is broken basically into three 40-year segments. The first 40 years, he lives in the palace. He has all the partying and food and everything else he could possibly want there. And that's his lifestyle for the most part in the palace. If he lived at all, like the Pharaoh and the other individuals in the palace live. The second 40 years after he kills the Egyptian for beating up and hurting an Israeli, he flees and he goes to the mountains. He's now a shepherd. And he lives in the wilderness, and he's traveling and living there. And that's his next 40 years of life. And I'm pretty sure that he anticipated settling there, staying there. He had children there. He got married. All that's his second stage of life there. And then God steps in. This is the part that you have to be aware of. God steps in to situations that you may not think or realize you're ready to serve. I always like to say, when you turn 80, get ready. God's finally maybe going to think you're worth using. Okay? And I don't mean that as a joke. I mean it as a seriousness of how many things have we learned in those first 80 years of our life that we thought we knew when we were 40, and then we had to relearn and unlearn and all the different things it takes to get you to a certain point and accumulate all of the wisdom, scars, and wounds of life and circumstances. So finally, you're maybe able to serve God with, some people like to say, oh, I'm just a horrible person. I've done so many things wrong. How could God possibly use me? I go, did this happen to you? Yeah. Did you do this? Yeah. Did this? Yeah. Good. God can use you now. Why? Because you've suffered. Because you've engaged life. Because you struggled as a husband or a wife. Because you've gone through the challenges of raising a child. Because you have had to deal with the work that you have to go to, whether you feel like it or not. You had to deal with all kinds of different circumstances. Finally, when Moses is thinking of kicking back, God says, nope, down to Egypt. And then we hear the excuses that he gives and the fear that he exhibits. Me, Egypt, you know me, you know what I did? Yeah, you're going to Egypt. You're going to talk to Pharaoh. I mean, it's a little bit like telling Lamb of God has been appointed to go over and solve everything that's happening over in Europe. Yep. And you're all going to talk to the German chancellors. You're going to talk to the Russians. You're going to talk to the French or whoever we pick. And you go, solve the problem. And you go, wait, who's the crazy man preaching? Here's Moses. What is being said to me? What are you doing to me? Why are you doing this? Because God needs you to do this now, Moses. Your time had finally come. And yet you have to remember, God waited 80 years. Moses was a special child from the day he was born. He was identified by that, recognized as that in Scripture. He was even recognized that he was a beautiful child by Pharaoh's daughter. He got his name Moses, pulled out of the water, and that whole process he goes through, and yet God doesn't finally use him till he turns 80. And so this call is so radical to Moses, he fights it in every possible way that he can. And he starts saying things like this. He goes, suppose I go to these Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they go, who's that? What'll I tell them? They're all legitimate questions. This is a wise man who's lived life going, you know what you're asking me? You know that's Pharaoh. All right? Those are individuals that hate the Jews. This is a person that doesn't know God at all, and still in the middle of it, the burning bush, the messenger from God, continues to tell him what he's telling him. And he says, he goes on and says, what is the name that I should tell them? And God does something really fascinating now. He says, you tell them I am who I am. You tell them I am sent me. Now the neat thing about the Hebrew is I am is both past, present, and future. In other words, you can actually translate it in context. I was, I am, I will be. It reflects the eternalness of God. It reflects the introduction of Moses of the burning bush, the messenger of the burning bush to the people. Your father, the God of your fathers, is here. Thee sent me to tell you these things. There's so much going on in this dialogue that we have, just a fascinating account of you're watching Moses metamorphosize right in front of your eyes. He is not, every argument he throws up gets quietly pushed down. Till finally, we didn't read all the sections. God finally, you know, Moses, I'm not good at talking. We'll send Joshua with you. Your brother will help you out. But Lord, and finally God says, Moses, I make mouths, I make hands, I make eyes, teeth. If I can make them, do you think I can't empower you to speak? And it says God got angry with Moses. And you begin to say, how come? And the answer is, this was so different than Moses expected, not to mention to go and tell the president of Russia, tell Putin, Lamb of God, the Lord of Lamb of God says, get out of the countries where you're not supposed to be in. And they go. The miracle is that Moses recovers from this at all. That's part of the thing that you have to understand. The metamorphosis, in some cases, like with a caterpillar, will take a season, whatever that is, X number of weeks or a month of summer, however long that normally is. The metamorphosis of people is far more difficult. Remember, we were talking earlier in Bible study how easy it is for some people to suggest, well, I'm born that way. I've always been like this. You know, I'm a worrier. You know, I like to talk. You know, I've never said anything out loud in front of people. You know, I really don't like praying out loud. You know this, you know. And I go, when I'm rude, I just say, shut up. Because you were born a certain way doesn't mean you're going to stay that way. God is in charge of metamorphosis. God is in charge of taking a Moses and turning him into a spokesman, to taking a man that in one sense was hiding out, putting him right back in the center of a million plus people and saying, lead my people through the desert. Moses was expected to stand his ground in not only in front of Pharaoh, which was relatively easy by comparison, to standing in front of these whiny, complaining people. Our food we don't like, and we want some of this, and we don't have enough water, and everything else. And if you've ever been in a leadership position, that's why in so many churches you find people go, I'll participate, just don't ask me to lead. Why? Because it's hard. It's difficult. People are not that easy to work with. Take and look in a mirror. Are we? What, you think I'm the only one with faults that I'm talking right now? Yeah, Frank goes, yeah. I appreciate your honesty, but it does hurt. But you understand, Moses is being metamorphosized by God. This is a change. This is something. And when Jesus does the transfiguration, what an unbelievable metamorphosis of Jesus in the eyes of disciples. They could never look at him again the same way they looked at him. They could never just see him as a man walking along the seashore or a man just preaching. They had to see what was so stunning for them that they fell down. So stunning that Peter says, Lord, I'll build three places, for one for you, one for Peter, one for Isaiah, and one for, you're beginning, I'll do this. And so here's Moses, Isaiah, and Jesus, and they're on the Transfiguration Mount. The disciples are laying on their face, stunned by what they saw Jesus become. And you and I have to continue to move forward in our life. Who knows what God's purpose is in your life? I don't care if you were a quiet person all your life. Neither does God. I don't care if you've been a frightened person all your life. Neither does God. Not like I don't care about you, but I don't care what you think you can't do. I can take you down and I will be with you. And this is what Jesus or God says to Moses. I'll be with you. You don't have to be afraid. You can put your confidence in me. I can take you places you never thought you'd go. I can take you there with power you never thought you'd possess. And he sets that up until Moses finally begins to realize that he is being changed moment by moment, breath by breath, miracle by miracle. Moses is not the same man a few years later than he was when God called him at 80. He was still struggling. He wasn't perfect by any means, but he was doing what God had called and asked him to do. And he didn't get old in a sense. It says their sandals didn't wear out and they stayed young and they began to do the wilderness travel and Moses had to do all the stuff he went through for those people. And so we have on the Mount of Transfiguration an opportunity not just to see it take place in somebody else, not just to say, thank God I'm not Moses, but to slow down and say a prayer, dear Jesus, whatever you have for me, wherever you're going to ask me to go, in whatever circumstance I'm going to have to go there, make me willing, or I am willing, to do that, Lord. That's the Metamorphosis Sunday. That's where you become different. Because you began to surrender what you're doing, what you have, and you began to understand what God is doing here. God has this plan. It's huge. Obviously, whether it's Jesus in the New Testament, where we read about the salvation of the world, and the disciples are only getting little bits and smatterings of it into their brains, Jesus can reveal it all. It can be told them out loud in the sermons and witnessed to in Scripture, but they're still only absorbing little bits and pieces at a time. Our Moses in the Old Testament, overwhelmed by the very concept that I, little Moses now, frightened and scared, is going to go back and into Pharaoh's court and tell Pharaoh he better let the people go. And so into that setting or situation, you begin to recognize, here's God's lesson to you. I want to metamorphosize you. I want to metamorphosize this church. It doesn't necessarily mean what you were doing was bad. Moses is not scolded for being a shepherd. God says, I've got more. Moses was not put down for that. He was set free to walk at a totally different level with the presence of God. He was able to influence totally something different rather than a flock of sheep or a herd of cattle or whatever he may have been taking care of. He had instead a whole group of people that had been set free. That's what we have to be willing to do as a church, as a congregation, as individuals in your family, as you dealing with the circumstances of your life. Lord, I am willing. You choose. Call me in any direction you want me to go. Help me each day as I live here, but help me to move forward because there are more Israelites to save, more people to be taught, and more things to be done for him. That's part of Transfiguration Sunday. Can I be metamorphosized by the presence and power of the Spirit of God? Pray with me. Lord, it is easy to say. It's easy to preach on. It's hard to live, Lord. And at the same time, I thank you that you answer the doubts and the questions of Moses. And you raise up those disciples who were struck down with fear when they saw you change right in front of them on this transfiguration moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the things that you do for us daily. We thank you for where you want to take us individually, as a congregation, as a group of people in the body, your body, the church. Come and bless us all. Stir in us that kind of commitment and desire and fire, Lord. We pray this all in your name. God's people say, amen. As the prayers are going to be said, if you have any that are in the...